Welcome.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room, both the ones present and those listening along with us today. So we know that not everyone is a mom, but we can all agree that we all came from a mom, right?
Yes.
So, and we can thank God for that today. Okay. All right. So why was Mother's Day started? Many call this a Hallmark holiday, but what was the motivation for creating a special day to honor moms? Well, we did a little bit of research and went on history.com and found out about the origins of Mother's Day. So I got a lot to tell you. So you guys hold on. You ready? Here we go. Here's what they said. Celebrations of mothers and motherhood can be traced back to the ancient Greeks and Romans. Yeah, that's way far back, right? Who held festivals in honor of the mother goddess Rhea and Cybele. But the clearest modern precedent for Mother's Day is the early Christian festival known as Mothering Sunday. Once a major tradition in the United Kingdom and parts of Europe, this celebration fell on the fourth Sunday in Lent and was originally seen as a time when the faithful would return their mother to church. Oh, not their mother. Return to their mother church. I knew I was going to do that. return to their mother church. Sorry, I've read that four times to practice and still messed it up. Sorry. So the main church in the vicinity of their home, okay, just for clarity, for a special service. So over time, Mothering Sunday tradition shifted into a more secular holiday, and children would present their mothers with flowers and other tokens of appreciation. This custom eventually faded in popularity before merging with the American Mother's Day in the 1930s and 40s. The origins of Mother's Day as celebrated in the United States date back to the 19th century. In the years before the Civil War, Ann Reeves Jarvis of West Virginia helped start Mother's Day work clubs to teach local women how to properly care for their children. These clubs later became a unifying force in the region of the country still divided over the Civil War. In 1868, Jarvis organized Mother's Friendship Day, at which mothers gathered with former Union and Confederate soldiers to promote reconciliation. Another precursor to Mother's Day came from abolitionist Julia Ward Howe. In 1870, Howe wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, and this was a call to action that asked mothers to unite, promoting world peace. So In 1873, Howe campaigned for a Mother's Peace Day to be celebrated every June 2nd. I guess that didn't take off. But the official Mother's Day holiday arose in the 1900s as a result of Anna Jarvis, daughter of Ann Reeves Jarvis, following her mother's 1905 death. Anna Jarvis conceived Mother's Day as a way of honoring the many sacrifices mothers made for their children. After gaining financial backing from a Philadelphia department store owner named John Wanamaker, in May 1908, she organized the first official Mother's Day celebration at a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. So, 1908. Grafton, West Virginia, yes. The same day also drew thousands of people to attend a Mother's Day event at one of Wanamaker's retail stores in Philadelphia. Following the success of their first Mother's Day, Jarvis, who remained unmarried and childless her whole life, resolved to see her holiday added to the national calendar. By 1912, many states, towns, and churches had adopted Mother's Day as an annual holiday, and Jarvis established the Mother's Day International Association to help promote her cause. Her persistence paid off in 1914 when then-President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure officially establishing the second Sunday in May, today, as Mother's Day. Now, Ann Jarvis originally conceived Mother's Day as a day of personal celebration between mothers and families. Her version of the day involved wearing a white carnation as a badge and visiting one's mother or attending church services. But once Mother's Day became a national holiday, it was not long before card companies, and other merchants capitalized on its popularity. While Jarvis initially worked with the floral industry to help raise the Mother's Day profile, by 1920, she had become disgusted with how the whole holiday had been commercialized, and she outwardly denounced the transformation and urged people to stop buying Mother's Day flowers, cards, and candy. Jarvis eventually resorted to an open campaign against Mother's Day profiteers, speaking out against confectioners, florists, and even charities. She launched countless lawsuits against groups that had used the name Mother's Day, eventually spending most of her personal wealth in legal fees. By the time her death in 1948, Jarvis had disowned the holiday altogether and even actively lobbied the government to see it removed from the American calendar. Obviously, Miss Jarvis was motivated by her mother's actions to start this holiday, and it's most likely why the holiday still remains on the calendar today, because there is this still an underlying motivation for the honoring and celebrating of moms today. So let's just take a look at this little video.
The bad thing is to say, don't be nice on Mother's Day, treat her good the rest of the year.
That's right. So if you aren't with us this morning and you're listening online, we can email us and we'll send you the link to that video. It's hysterical. That husband's heart was in the right place. And men, just a little insight, that might not be the best way to say thank you or happy Mother's Day, just in case you didn't know. All right, so. Okay, we'll have counseling after services. All right, well, be careful, guys. Father's Day is just in a few weeks, so. All right, so one thing we can agree on is that moms have to wear many hats, right? And a hat can really change how you're perceived. Like, right, you put a hat on, and people identify you by your hat. So if I put this hat on, this Ford hat on, people are like, oh, you must like Ford, right? Right? Or what about this hat? If I put this on, I might look more like a little bit of a redneck with my steel hat ready to go cut some trees down, yeah? All right. Or how about my cowboy hat? How y'all doing? You ready to go out and die and wrangle up some, I don't know, whatever. But look, it changes our perception, right, and how you see people. And, you know, I think for many of us, our first observation of true love was witnessed in our mothers. Hence our message titled today, True Love Wears Many Hats. So as we explore the scriptures today, we're going to see some of the similarities between the roles, which we will call hats today, Jesus held, and the ones mom held. Now we're going to be using Proverbs 31 to draw some of our comparisons. So we're going to be looking at 10 hats or 10 roles, and some are obvious and some not so obvious. So, and this, by the way, this list is no way comprehensive. There's plenty more out there on both sides. It's just a simple sampling that we grabbed from the scriptures. So the first hat is the comfort hat, right? So I'm going to give you a little, how about that? Is that good? Whoops, whoops. Oh, my feather fell out. My feather fell out of my comfort hat. All right. Well, you get the idea. All right. So one of the examples, I thought I fell out again. Okay. One of the examples, oh, maybe I shouldn't wear the hat. How about we'll just put it over here. You guys get the idea. of Jesus wearing this hat came from John 14, 1 through 4. Let's take a look at that verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So Jesus is found communicating this truth to the disciples, right? Because just previously in John 13, he told them that he was only going to be with them a little while longer. And we're going to be studying that next week a little bit, or in the next few weeks. And they had just received news that one of them was going to betray him, and that Peter was going to deny him. So you can imagine, these guys are in turmoil right now. There's a lot going on in their hearts. And the next words out of Jesus' mouth are these. So the disciples obviously had good reason to be distraught, and these words that Jesus spoke were meant to bring comfort. In fact, you know, these same words are often spoken at funerals today to bring people comfort as they grieve the loss of those who have gone. So what do we see similar in Proverbs? Well, let's take a look at Proverbs 31:20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Now, this example is referring to bringing comfort to those outside the home. We can recall the comfort we find or we found in our mom's arms or words at home, right? How often, just think back, take a trip down memory lane and think back to the time where you've gone to mom needing comfort. when chaos was swirling around you and we just took that situation to mom. She used words or actions to provide comfort. She either spoke into that situation or put her arms around us and said, hey, it'll be okay, right? You remember that? So the next hat that moms and Jesus wear is the hat of healer. I need a little hat, like mannequin up here. So the healer hat. Now, an example of this is found in John 9, verses 6 through 7. And we know that Jesus did many healings, so this is just one of those. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went, washed, and came home seeing. While this is an example of Jesus doing a physical healing, we also know that Jesus deals with emotional healing. Now, out of all the hats that we're going to discuss today, this is the only one that we won't find an example of specifically mentioned in Proverbs 31. However, I'm going to ask you this question. When you got hurt as a little kid, who was the first one you ran to? Mom or dad? Enough said. And that's true both physically and emotionally, right? That's who we'd run to. We'd run to mom. So it's definitely a hat that mom wears. So the next hat is teacher hat. And the black ribbon means nothing, really. Just happened to be the color that was on it. Oh, we'll do that one in a minute. I need an assistant today. Jesus is addressed many times with varying titles. 90 of them, to be exact. But out of those 90 times he was addressed as rabbi or teacher 60. 60 times that he was addressed as rabbi or teacher. So we're going to look at just two examples from John's account. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am, from John 13:13. And then when Nicodemus came to him by night, he said, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. That's John 3:2. Now our moms are usually our first teacher, starting but not limited to how to walk or talk. And those are just the start, right? Then comes getting dressed, tying our shoes, or how about the many random questions we go to mama with? And mom has to be like this encyclopedia of information. But she was our first source, our first teacher, long before we sought wisdom anywhere else. And why not? Look at Proverbs 31:26. It tells us, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's a teacher. Now, honestly, we should have started with the next hat, because it's the life-giver hat. And just being one with God as a part of the Trinity associates him with giving the giving of life from the conception in the womb. Look at Psalm 139:13. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Not only that, but Jesus, that's one way of being a life giver, but Jesus is capable of bringing life people back to life. Look at John 11:43-44. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth around his face. Mind you, the man was dead 4 days, in case you didn't know. He brought him back to life. So, now I'm not saying mom has that power, okay? But she does have the power to give birth, right? And Proverbs 31:28 just gives us a little glimpse into that. Her children arise and call her blessed. Now, this proverb didn't say that she specifically gives life, but she does have children. Now, hold on, because it's easy to presume that that's the only way to have children. Giving life is more than just physical birth. Giving life means pouring into a child, forming and shaping them to prepare them for adulthood. So giving life isn't just the physical side, it's the emotional and the pouring in over the course of their life. Which leads us to the next one, which is obvious, the hat that's sustainer. This is not working. Sustainer. Look at Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? While Jesus is talking about worry in this passage, we can also gather the concept of his provision to sustain us in this life. In John 11, Jesus reminds us it's much more than just sustaining us in this life. Chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So believing in him sustains us even into eternity. Jesus is interwoven throughout all things, too. Here's the link of things holding us together. Look at Colossians. He is the link, sorry, of the things holding us together. Colossians 1, 17. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, consider this. There's a protein holding us all together called laminin. Medical definition of this is defined as a glycoprotein that is a component of a connective tissue basement membrane that promotes cell adhesion. Y'all got that? Yeah, okay. In other words, it's interwoven in our DNA, and without it, we would literally fall apart. The crazy thing is about this lamin, when examined under a microscope, is in the shape of a cross. In our DNA, the way we were designed. And that verse, Colossians 1:17, reminds us of mom, in all things and holding them all together, doesn't it? And why? Because Proverbs 31:17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. You know, there was we had a neighbor growing up, and this woman had six children, so she had a lot on her plate. And some neighbor's pool back up behind us had busted, and it was a big pool. And this water came rushing down their yard, carried half their stuff into our driveway, and my dad had just had stone delivered for our driveway. So half the stone went down the driveway. It took us all day to get all the stuff cleaned up and put back to where it was. And this woman was right there the whole time helping. Wasn't even her pool, but man, we all went in that night and went, man, Evelyn was amazing. She worked like a man. It was crazy. She had some arms on her. Maybe it was to defend herself against the kids. I don't know. But she was great. But no matter how many kids you have, if there's more than one, you have to wear this next hat, right? And that's the peacemaker hat. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus wore this hat as well. As sometimes things among the 12 got a little heated, right? An example is found in Luke 9, 46 through 48. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you who will be the greatest." Jesus just had the words to settle things. He was a peacemaker. And the example from Proverbs is not as specific, but look at Proverbs 31:27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, watches here is the Hebrew word safa, which carries with it the meaning of paying close observance or viewing things with a careful eye. And this would include keeping the peace. When you hear the quarrel starting, mom doesn't wait until it escalates. She steps in the beginning to keep the peace. That's the wise thing to do. That's why moms are wise. Now, for many, this next hat is your favorite, like the cook, right? Mom usually wears the hat of cook, but it's the least common hat for Jesus. And you're thinking, what? Jesus cooked? That's right. He did cook. That's right. John 21, 9 through 10. When they landed, they saw a fire burning, coals there with fish on it. He was cooking, and some bread. Now, bread didn't just get made. He made some bread, right? So Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish, some of the fish you have caught." Now, ladies, don't get too excited because Jesus cooked after he was resurrected. I don't know if there's some kind of heavenly thing that happens there. But so for those of you that don't have men that cook, just you might have to. It might take a miracle. That's all I'm saying. I'm in that camp. So, hey, Proverbs tells us this woman who reminds us a lot of mom is the provider of food. Look at Proverbs 31:15b. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. Now, provide in the Hebrew means to put out or make. So we could say cook, right? So the next hat may seem an unlikely one to find on Jesus or mom. And that's the financial advisor hat. Financial advisor hat. There we go. All right. 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus spoke deal with money, right? So Jesus, while often talking about wise investments in many of his parables, there's a specific instance he says, hey, money is important in Luke 14, verses 28 through 29. He says you need to count the cost. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. You won't first sit down and estimate the, cost if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. Money is a tool. If not used right, it will cause you to be viewed as a fool. If you can put that one in your hat. The example given in Proverbs 31 actually has several examples of mom being wise with money and being a good financial advisor. Let's look at what we see. Proverbs 31, 16, 18, and 24. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. And the money made was not simply for helping to support the household. No, no. Look, there's an example of what else she would do, or a woman would do, in Luke 8, 3. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. This verse gives evidence of what we just saw in Proverbs, right? Now, this next hat is never an easy hat to wear, but I can say that Jesus and mom wear it well. And that is the servant hat. Now, Jesus was not shy about his service. Look at this little snippet in Matthew. Matthew 20, 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, to back this up, there's a story. The story before this, the 12 were arguing as James and John's mom had just gone to Jesus to ask if they could sit at the left and the right of Jesus just prior in Matthew 20. That's what happened. And isn't it just like a mom to want to bring her boys and give them an elevated position to say, can you help them? You know, they just step in and try and make things good. Anyway, I digress. Sorry. Jesus told them that if they wanted to be like him, things would look much different. And Jesus didn't just say this. He wasn't just the one to say words. He demonstrated it in his actions. Take a look at John 13, 4 through 5. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped the towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It's pretty amazing. The teacher, the rabbi, the one who was their leader, was the one who was going to be washing their feet. We're going to get there next week, so be sure you're with us next week. That's where we're starting a new series. Anyway, he didn't simply tell him. He showed him, right? And Paul gives these words as witness to the way Jesus served in Philippians 2:7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now, Proverbs only gives us a glimpse into mom's world of serving. Look at Proverbs 31, 13, 15, and 15a. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She gets up while it's still night. Now, I'm sure that's just a glimpse, right? I'm sure that if we could create quite a list this morning, if we went around the room, of how our mom served us. Just think about that. No matter what age you are, you can think back to a time when you were young, maybe even now, how your mom still serves us, has that servant heart. And we know that service does not come without our last hat that we're going to discuss today, and that's the hat of sacrifice. Now, Jesus' first sacrifice was coming from the comforts of heaven and the fellowship of the Father and the Holy Spirit to be with us down here on earth. But the greater sacrifice is what he endured for those who will believe in him. Hebrews 10:10 says this, "We have been sanctified through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And in order to achieve this last compliment in Proverbs, moms must sacrifice a lot. Look at Proverbs 31:29. "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." So as we wrap up today, let's first thank God for his design, for giving us mothers who, as we saw, have many traits that Jesus has, right? And it's not by accidents moms are the way they are. The design is meant to point us back to the Creator. In fact, think about your mom for a minute and think about how many of these fruits of the Spirit are evidenced in her. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So despite Miss Jarvis's desire to see the holiday no longer honored, there's still good reason to give thanks to God for our moms today and to honor them on this day. Little snippet for mom. When it feels overwhelming, remember Jesus has been there and is there and will give you the strength to follow through. So, true love wears many hats. Father God, we thank you that we had a mom that loved us and that you gave us that mom. We thank you for the moms in the room today for who demonstrate how these many hats are worn. And we didn't even cover all the different ways that moms engage or that you engage us. But we do acknowledge that we're thankful today. Thankful for them and we're thankful for you. And we honor them today and ask your blessing upon them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.